China's modern history reads like a fever dream, a nation catapulted from revolutionary communism to hyper-capitalism in just one generation. Yuhua's China in 10 Words offers something precious, an insider's view of this transformation through the eyes of someone who lived through the Cultural Revolution and emerged as one of China's most celebrated writers. His memoir-essay hybrid dissects modern China's contradictions through seemingly simple words that carry extraordinary cultural weight. From his days as an untrained copycat dentist pulling teeth in a small town to becoming a literary voice that speaks to millions, Yu takes us on a journey that statistics and policy analyses simply cannot capture. The lived experience of China's most turbulent decades. The word people, once central in phrases like People's Republic and Serve the People, now rings hollow in modern China. During the Cultural Revolution, Yu created the saying, "The people are Chairman Mao, and Chairman Mao is the people," watching it spread uncredited. China transformed from a politically driven nation to one dominated by money. The 1989 Tiananmen crackdown marked this shift. Political engagement vanished almost overnight, replaced by courtship, mahjong, and English studies. Unlike traditional emperors with formal bearing, Mao acted unpredictably and masterfully inflamed mass passion. His famous Yangtze swim at age 72 exemplifies this, with thousands shouting, "Long live Chairman Mao," while he claimed the river water tasted unbelievably sweet. His casual style contrasts with today's collective leadership, where Politburo standing committee members wave in identical, synchronized arcs. Modern China has leadership, not a leader. In post-Mao China, leader has become a devalued term applied to everything from fashion to elevators, whereas during the Cultural Revolution, it was sacred and exclusively Mao's. Even sharing his surname could be dangerous. A union chairman named Mao was persecuted for answering to Chairman Mao. A recent joke about Mao being cloned reflects discontent with contemporary China, where despite economic success, many feel nostalgic for Mao's era when people lived equally without today's ruthless competition. Growing up where books were scarce, Yu's earliest reading came from the town library that reopened during the Cultural Revolution with only 20-odd titles of socialist revolutionary literature, everything else labeled poisonous weeds and burned. Yu devoured these dull accounts of class struggle because his life was even duller. After losing library privileges, he relied on the 4-volume set of Mao's selected works found in every home. In high school, Yu discovered banned books that had escaped destruction. These tattered survivors, typically missing dozens of pages, forced him to imagine his own endings, unwittingly training himself for his future writing career. At 20, working as a dentist in a small-town hospital, Yu feared spending his life looking into people's mouths. His writing began with big character posters during the Cultural Revolution, where his middle school writing group, Spring Shoots, earned praise from revolutionary authorities for criticizing teachers. His life changed when Beijing Literature called in 1983, agreeing to publish all 3 of his submitted stories. In Beijing, an editor instructed him to change his story's bleak ending. "Socialism is bright. Only capitalism can be so dark and dismal." He complied eagerly. Getting published mattered more than artistic integrity. China's economic transformation occurred in the blink of an eye, shifting from material shortages to extravagance in just 30 years. Today's urban luxury contrasts sharply with the rationed past of monthly coupons for grain and meat. Disparity evolved from an empty ideological concept during the Cultural Revolution to today's reality. While Mao's socialist policies reduced inequalities despite slow growth, market reforms delivered spectacular economic expansion, GNP growing nearly 100-fold from 1978 to 2009, but widened the urban-rural income gap dramatically. In 2006, TV anchor Kui Youngwon discovered rural children who had never seen soccer, while hundreds of millions of urban Chinese watched the World Cup. China has transformed from a luxury goods producer to a consumption center, with sales growing 20% during Western market declines. Yet this prosperity coexists with endemic poverty, creating a society where the state is rich but the people are poor. This pendulum swing characterizes modern China, from repression to openness, scarcity to excess, equality to disparity, revealing a society that lurches between extremes rather than finding balance. The term copycat evolved from meaning a fortified mountain hamlet to representing imitation with an anarchist spirit. Copycat cell phones imitated major brands with names like Nokia and Samsung, capturing the low-end market by avoiding research costs. Even Mao Zedong became a copycat target, with a karaoke parlor depicting him holding a microphone and Hunan province hosting competitions for Mao lookalikes. This phenomenon extends to entertainment, where copycat TV shows challenge official programming through parodies addressing sensitive social issues, representing grassroots confrontation with the elite and reflecting China's uneven development. While embodying rebellion against authority, copycatting also normalizes plagiarism. Book vendors proudly sell pirated editions, and journalists fabricate interviews, dismissing complaints as copycat interviews. This reveals China's contradictory development: restricted freedom in some spheres, unbelievable freedom in others. The word bamboozle evolved from to sway unsteadily to meaning deception. It gained popularity through comedian Zhao Benshan's skit Selling Crutches, where he convinced a healthy man he needed expensive, shoddy crutches. Bamboozlement now permeates everyday language in business, academia, and personal relationships, reflecting China's confused value system amid rapid development. Yu recalls his first bamboozling attempt against his father. As a child, he feigned illness to avoid punishment, forgetting his father was a doctor. This became so habitual that he couldn't distinguish between real and imaginary pain. His deception backfired when, after agreeing to his father's appendicitis diagnosis questions, he underwent unnecessary surgery. "I had originally been bent on bamboozling my father, but in the end, I simply bamboozled myself onto the operating table." A metaphor, perhaps, for a nation that has bamboozled itself into a precarious future. After the Cultural Revolution ended in 1977, previously banned books caused a sensation. Despite rushing with his 5 yuan note, Yu found hundreds ahead of him competing for just 50 available coupons. 30 years later, China shifted from book scarcity to publishing over 200,000 books yearly. Yet Yu cherishes that morning in 1977 as the beginning of his literary journey, when books were precious forbidden fruit rather than commonplace commodities. Yu experienced China's copycat culture firsthand as an impromptu dentist. After observing just 2 extractions, he performed the procedure himself, mimicking every move. This remains his fondest memory of socialism, when everyone earned equal pay regardless of profession. He eventually traded dentistry for writing, which gave him ownership of 2 lives, one real, one imaginary, allowing his suppressed emotions unrestricted outlet. Through his 10 words, Yu chronicles China's transformation from revolutionary fervor to capitalist excess, from poverty to uneven prosperity, from ideological certainty to moral confusion, capturing both national evolution and ordinary people navigating extraordinary change.